This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
As a ball player, you know, at a certain point, I did realize that I am an entertainer. It's a different type of entertainment. But from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock every night, my obligation is to go out there and give the fans a show. Now, I'm not thinking that way. I don't have to look a certain way or do a certain thing. I'm just playing, but that is my job. You've hung out with, obviously, in this industry your whole life, but you've been around a lot of athletes as well. What do we have in common, the two worlds, the athletic world, the rock and roll world? Is there any?
Absolutely. Number one, ego. Nobody has bigger egos than rock stars and ball players. Okay. And the reason why, they've been validated because 10, 15, 20,000 people a night stand up and go like this for you every day. So it's up to us whether you knew it or not. This is interesting you would say that. But you knew when you went out there what you did and how you acted that made your fans love you. Okay? You entertained them. You know, John Daly will hit a driver off the deck 275 yards over the water. Why didn't he hit a 7-iron up and then because he's got the greatest wedge game of all times and hit it 4 feet from the pin and make the birdie? And his answer is, because people don't come here to watch me hit a 7-iron. Okay. Right. They want to see me hit the fucking thing over the wall.
They want to see the tin cup.
That's it. So that's what we do as, and when you walk out, you can't explain, but you'll know what I'm talking about. When you walk out of that dugout and you grab that bat, or going out on that field and these fucking people are there, you know what I mean? And they're screaming your name and you can't explain it.
You know, and you make a good point because you're making me think about that now. And you're right. It's like we are very aware of what we are doing, how we are moving, where we're facing. Now, you get caught up in the moment in baseball, a grinded out at bat. I'm not worried about where the camera is.
No.
But I'm well aware that once you play and establish yourself at that level, you are known for certain things.
Correct.
And you know when the fans come there, late in my career, when I hit a home run, I flip my bat. Okay, well, I was well aware of that. And I was well aware if I hit a home run and I didn't flip my bat, the fans then different now because the social media wasn't what it is now. But yeah. The question is, hey, you didn't flip your bat. You didn't think you hit it over the fence. No, I knew it was gone. I just didn't flip my bat. Well, why did you flip? You're right. By bringing that up, we are well aware of what we are known for. Absolutely. And if we can control it at all, we're going to give the fans what they came to see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor Swift, one of the biggest artists of all time forever. Mm-hmm. Probably due to social media that no other artist had at the height of their career. Okay. She knows exactly what she does when she walks out, turns her head, goes to the Super Bowl, where she stands, because she has to get, she knows they're watching her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So she's right. On. We all are on.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Some more than others.
But the people that understand fans, that understand their fans, understand why the fans are there for them.
Right.
Okay. And they give it to them. Okay. And that's the important part.
You talked about this recent tour, 200 and how many?
87 shows.
287. Unbelievable. We play 162 games. It's rigorous. You know, we have 2 days off a month and it's every day.
Yeah.
You were talking about now how times have changed. I'm seeing it in the sports world. Times are changing. Players, they're more aware of nutrition and how year round to live. And now we're getting to the point where all these young players, they have apps on their phones where they got to get X amount of hours of sleep. Today I woke up and my, you know, this isn't lining up with that. They have times, they have apps that tell them when they need a day off. There's things that they can read. Completely different world than when I was coming into the game, and completely different than when you started this game 35 years ago, 40 years ago, you've been doing this. Tell me, walk me through a day with a rock band on the road. I know as a baseball player, I'm sleeping in. I'm going to go to lunch. I'm going to get to the ballpark at 3. What's your normal day on tour with Kiss before we get ready for the show that night?
Okay. We meet in the lobby at 1 o'clock. Okay. Usually I'm up in the mornings, calls to Europe and do all my stuff. Okay. Yeah. We meet in the lobby at 1 o'clock. We all get in cars, go to the airport. We get on our jet, okay? We have a G5. We get on the jet, we take off for the next city, okay? We have a lunch on the plane with our flight attendant and stuff. We land, we go right straight to the gig. 4:30 we have a meeting in a place called Italy, which is where we eat in Italy. And we have a meeting there about the show, about what happened last night, how can we change this. We have the crew come in, work on that. Then we go and do a meet and greet for 250, 300 people. And they go out and they play 5 songs, acoustically or electrically, however they feel. And then they do a Q&A for those fans. Okay. And they talk. This takes about an hour. Then they come back in, get a little bite to eat, and they go do makeup. Then we do the show, jump in the cars after the show and head to the hotel. And the next day we do the same thing.
On to the next. And
it's Groundhog Day. Like you have.
But so here, it's like,
okay, right, here's the difference. What you're talking about, Booney.
All right.
Okay. I agree that the new athlete, the guy that's aware of what 174 grams of sugar is and all that kind of shit. We knew what blow was. We had no idea how many grams were in sugar or what we ate or whatever the fuck that was. Okay. We didn't know that, but you know what we had? What I believe that was lost. We don't have any fucking stars. Okay, we don't have people we don't have a Boone in baseball. We don't have a Chichi Rodriguez in golf. We don't have a John Daly anymore in golf. We have these fucking super robot kids that are like the Stafford wives. They all swing the club the same way. If you listen to the interview, it could be any one of them giving the same interview, okay? The personality, what Jack and Arnie had, what Mickelson and Tiger had, you know what I mean? What John Daly, the two people that brought the most to the game of golf was Tiger Woods and John Daly. Two different ways. Great role model, unbelievable golfer, won 25% of the time. And John Daly, that says stuff like, John, he just stayed at my house last week. John, so how's your cancer? You know something, Doc? I think the cigarettes and vodka have killed it. Okay.
That's something he would say.
That's John Daly. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I see, could they be better golfers than what the Chichi Rodriguez was and the Trevino and Gary Player and Nicholas and all the great golfers, the Hogans and the things that they did, the Annex they did and the all that stuff. Maybe they're better golfers, but they're not entertainers. Okay.
Right.
You need to have the Dennis Rodmans of the world. You need to have the Brett Boones of the world. You need to have the fucking classic stars that are non-apologetic for what they do. They go kick ass. Mike Tyson. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. So to me, those are the people that go fishing in deep water for where they're at in life. They're not focused on how they can get the stretch to get this underneath. So Brady goes and they teach him how to just, he doesn't go to the gym for the last 10 years. They go, have you ever heard about muscle entanglement?
No, but I know he's doing something weird.
That's okay. So what it is, he gets to throw and he only works the muscles that throws the football. He does it. If he works on anything else, it will entangle those muscles to where he can't throw the football as well. So he only does the exercises for throwing the football. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. And you can be the greatest athlete in the world. Okay. I mean, you can be the best of what you want to be, but you have to be, to me, you have to be a personality.
You got to have that it factor to go along with the talent.
You have to have the X factor.
Right.
And that's what we're not teaching. We're not teaching that in people in the sense of, of teaching our kids to have character, to have character, believe in what you're doing, work your ass off. But have that fun. Have things that that you're going for. And it's not like you go, well, he could have laid up, but he tried to hit the 5-wood out of. But what would Tiger do? Tiger Woods, when he was at the height, I saw him at Firestone, and I think it was Ernie Els was standing. They were tied, and he's in a sand trap 200 and some yards away. He took a 5-wood and cut it 75 yards. 8 feet from the pin. Now, nobody would do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But Tiger had the ability to do it. And that's what he did. And that's why the guy's so great. You know what I mean? But you just have to be that something special. And if you're that something special and you connect to people, you keep that connection. That's all. It's not that hard. But I don't get back to your question. I like the fact that they're better athletes or better golfers. They still shoot the same numbers.
Yeah.
Nobody shoots 40.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
No, yeah, I mean,
right. And the ball changes and the equipment changes, so they lengthen the course and better conditions to play in. You look at those. I mean, if we just focus on golf, you look at those old films, and it's like they're putting on like there's pebbles all over the green. You go on a PGA Tour green now, it's like beyond right. Perfect. So conditions are much better. Equipment is much more efficient.
Sure.
Guys hit it a lot longer. They're more athletic. The courses are longer than they used to be to make it all relevant.
Yes. I mean, John Daly told me last week that he believes that he could take a piece of oak and make a driver that he can hit further than he can with all the technology.
Current stuff, yeah. He did. The old Ping Woodwoods.
Yeah, but that's what he, you know, but again, I think that we're, no matter what you're talking about, we're in the entertainment business. Whether you're in football, baseball, hockey, we're in the entertainment business. We're entertainers. That's what we do. People come to watch us. And you better, okay, and like I tell my bands, if you're the fucking best, if you're the most exciting band anybody's ever seen, they will come and see you. And if you're not, they will go see the fucking most exciting band. Okay. No, they'll come and see you.
I think this is fascinating to me though. And you say, okay, we pull up, we've got our meeting at 1 o'clock. We do this, we go over last night's show.
Yeah.
As an athlete, you know, there's times where I'm swinging the crap out of it. And there's times where, man, I'm not seeing it at all. And I got to put in cage work and, man, I'm in a slump. Yeah. I go to a certain venue, you know, being in New York at Yankee Stadium in the postseason, there's nothing like it. Being in Detroit in April where it's windy and cold and there's 10,000 people in the stands, different atmosphere. For you in the rock and roll side, do these guys know, do they get in slumps? Do they sit down at that meeting the next day and go, man, we were horseshit last night and we need to get better. You were this, you were that, not necessarily pointing fingers, but just acknowledging that,
they have to point fingers. So they don't feel so shitty about what they did. that's how it works. And it's healthy for us. For me, the biggest thing I can do is empower people to be better at what they do. I can't tell them. I have to show them. And I show them by let them watch sections of the show that they thought was cool, that wasn't cool. When you get people excited about what they do, they want to kill. You want to kill for your fans. You want to go and when you say in a slump, I've heard they go, I hate playing outdoors. Well, get over it. You're going to be fucking playing outdoors. Okay. Yeah,
that's one of the venues we're going.
Well, I can't, my voice isn't this way. Talk yourself into whatever you want to. You're going out there tonight. Okay. And you're going to have to kick ass. And you're going to have to grab every bit of your ball sack to get it done, but you're going to go do it. Okay. And we're going to be there. And we're all going to be there beating you down that fucking road because that's what our job is. We don't have plan B.
If Doc McGee goes to my baseball game and I go 3-for-4, we win 7-2. I hit a 3-run homer. I turned a big double play. I'm going to see you after the game and go, Booney, hell of a game. On the flip side, if I strike out 3 times, go 0-for-4, we lose. I make a key error. Doc, after the game, Booney, rough one tonight. It's obvious that it was rough or great. Now, we go to a concert, and of course, you're going to see things that I don't see at a rock and roll concert.
You see things at a ballpark that we don't see.
Right, but it's more black and white. It's like obvious that I struck out with the bases loaded in the ninth, and I'm the GOAT tonight, or GOAT in a bad way, not the greatest of all time, and everybody knows it. Whereas for somebody in a band, they could be having an off night. You know they're not good tonight because you see them when they're good, but the average fan, are they going to be able to catch that?
No. No, they won't. Okay. And in which, to your point, yours is a given because it's out in the open. You're naked. You're standing out there. You struck out. Okay. Right. If they hit the wrong chord, somebody goes, oh, what's that? No big deal. And you wouldn't say to you, I would not say, you had a rough one tonight.
I won't say anything.
No. What I probably do is wait. And I know what I do is I come in and sit down with your room and say, is there anything going on with you? You got some problems? You got some issues? And start working on why. Because it's not like you to have this slump. There's something else going on.
Right.
Okay. And to attack that side of it, I do it with the bands. You know, man, when they're, you know, they call up and their wives give them shit or whatever, you know what I mean? And then their kids are, something happened at home, and now they come out and it's like they've got to take pictures and they go, fuck this, I'm not taking, you know what I mean?
Right. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
We always have a saying that, hey, and in Paul's dressing room and everything else, he has a picture of George, this trainer, right? And George Francis, who trained Bugabe and Bruno and all the black fighters out of England. And his thing was, you know, you leave what happened to you here and you take it all to the ring. You leave everything in the fucking ring. And he keeps that picture up there to remind him that regardless of what he's got on his mind, he's got to fucking let it go and get it and go do what he has to do. And most of the time that works if you can get it. But so again, good coaching is probably the most important part of the game. You can have four or five superstars, okay, on your team, but if they're not playing well together, it doesn't matter. So when you get a Sabian as a coach, or Halas, or Landry, or Parcells, or something, you know what I mean, something like that, to build these dynasties that you don't know why, it's because of coaching. Because they know how to get the best out of you. And you've had them. You've had coaches, you might not know it.
Right.
You've had coaches that somehow drag your ass up. When you, like you said, you get 2 days off a month. Can this be the most fun for the other 28 days? Okay. No, it's not. But if you're not prepared and they don't get you emotionally connected, okay, and understanding that when you walk in, this is where you're at and your mindset, and you move into it, then you're in trouble. You need to have those connections. And when they're not, they pull you out of the game.
Right.
They go,
the greatest managers I've ever had, that are the greatest people.
Yeah.
It's about managing people. It's about managing egos. It's about I've got to come at him differently than I've got to come at him. And if I do, I know his personality versus his personality. This approach won't work with him, but it will work with him to get the same result.